You're listening to Vatican Radio. On Sunday, Pope Francis presides at a special Jubilee Mass for young people, with thousands of teenagers from across the world expected to attend the celebration in St. Peter's Square. The Mass marks the culmination of a three-day event designed especially for youngsters from 13 to 16 years old, with the theme Merciful Like the Father. In a message signed on the Feast of the Epiphany this year, Pope Francis told the young people that to be merciful means to grow in a love which is courageous, courageous, generous and real. Speaking to those travelling to Rome for the Jubilee, he said, "Don't just prepare your rucksacks and your banners, but your hearts and your minds as well." One group of young people who've been preparing for this event in a very special way is the choir from Worth School in the south of England, who'll be singing in St. Peter's Square during the Papal Mass. While the youngsters at the Catholic school sing regularly for liturgies at the adjacent Benedictine Abbey, they're very aware of the significance of becoming the first British school choir to perform alongside the prestigious Sistine Chapel singers for this event.
It's just such an honour to be able to sing with such a fantastic choir.
It's such an opportunity. I definitely won't have this kind of opportunity again.
Two of the choir members, Eli Barrett and Hannah Teasdale, came to talk to me about the experience, accompanied by their music director, Michael Oakley, and by an old boy from their school, Mark Spiropoulos, who is now the first Englishman to perform full-time with the Sistine Chapel Choir.
I'm Eli Barrett, and I'm a member of the Worth School Choir.
Hello, I am Hannah Teasdale, and I'm also a member of the Worth School Choir.
I'm Mark Spiropoulos, and I used to be a member of the Worth School Choir, and I'm a member of the Cappella Sistina.
I'm Michael Oakley, I'm Director of Music of the Worth School Choir.
And you're here because you're going to be singing on Sunday at the Papal Mass, the first time that a British school has ever sung, I believe, with the Sistine Chapel Choir at a Papal Mass. Why don't you tell me about where your interest in music began? Were you always a musician? Where did you first start finding an interest, Eli?
I think it definitely comes through my parents. I mean, both are kind of musicians, and they kind of passed it on to me, got me playing the cello when I was young. I went on a Saturday morning to my local music service in the UK. There I learned to sing, play the cello, play the bassoon. And from that, I was given great opportunity to come to Worth, study, be a music scholar. All that kind of helped by Mr. Oakley over there. I started off young with the help of my parents.
So it's not just about singing. You play an instrument as well, don't you?
Yes,
Hannah?
I play viola, violin and piano as well as singing.
All helped by Michael Oakley. Tell us a bit about the role of music there at the school. It's a Benedictine school, isn't it, Worth Abbey?
It's a Benedictine school. Originally it was just boys, but now co-educational. And it offers not only a terrific physical environment, because it's a beautiful part of the country,
but also
it offers a good spiritual environment as well. It's not a forced environment. Eli's a Quaker.
Indeed.
And Hannah, I think, is Church of England. And I'm cradle Catholic, if you like. And it's very much an environment where all can get involved and all can benefit. And I think one of the wonders of this particular trip is that we all benefit in unexpected ways from the experience. I feel like it's part of the formation of the person, which I think is hugely important.
Would you say that music is a kind of common language that everyone can speak, if you like, whatever their backgrounds, whatever their origins?
Absolutely. We came across, some of us, last year to meet Maestro Palombella. And although his English is much better than my Italian, nevertheless, it was the platform of the music, I think, that not only generated a means of communication, but also it allowed us to spark each other's interests in not just what the music was, but how to perform it, perhaps in a new and different and exciting way. And I think that's one of the things which Maestro Palombella in particular has brought to the Cappella Sistina in his time working with them. And I think that's a remarkable step in modern times, if you like, using what is in effect an ancient choir.
You're also very passionate about this, aren't you, Mark, about being able to share with the next generation, if you like, what the kind of opportunities and privilege you had through music.
It's very exciting for me to have my old school choir, the choir where I learnt all about this amazing repertoire of choral music, and to have them coming here to sing with my choir now is a fantastic experience, and I'm very excited about it. I think they're going to do absolutely brilliantly on Sunday.
Isn't it a bit daunting, though? I mean, standing up in St. Peter's Square, singing in front of huge crowds are expected to be there.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think I'll quite understand the magnitude until I'm really there, to be honest. It's quite mind-blowing, but I'm just kind of bring it on. I look forward to it.
Definitely.
Enjoying the challenge. Yes. What kind of repertoire have you prepared? Tell us a bit about the music that you'll be performing.
Well, my favourite piece that we're performing is the Allegri Miserere, which is in... That's going to be a bit later on, but it's just such a beautiful piece of music, and because it was written to be sung there, inside the Vatican, it will be fantastic.
You're also doing other concerts, aren't you? You're performing, I know, in St. Mary Major as well?
Indeed we are.
Yes.
We'll be doing, I think on Sunday in the Vatican, we'll be singing the Beati Quorum Via. I mean, I've done that quite a few times with the choir. It's one of my favourite pieces. I mean, I started as a treble back in about 2010. Now I'm on the bass part. And every time I sing it, it's just really, really great. I never get tired of singing it.
I don't know if you're aware, but Pope Francis, who will be leading the Mass in St. Peter's Square, it's a Mass, it's a jubilee for young people. What does that mean to you? Do you think it's important that there's a jubilee, a special focus, if you like, on young people, that the Church is talking particularly to young people about this rather strange concept, difficult concept, perhaps, of mercy?
Yeah, I think it definitely is. It's quite a difficult topic for anyone, mercy, but especially for young people. I think it's great the Church is doing things for young people. I have a lot of admiration for the Catholic Church as a Quaker, and Christian values of helping your fellow man. That definitely comes across as we're the Benedictine school with the Benedictine values. Showing mercy, I think that can be done in many ways. I think, as in last week, we had Pope Francis showing mercy towards, I think it was the 20 or 10 Syrian refugees when he visited the refugee camps. I think that was a really fantastic gesture.
The dozen that he brought back
indeed,
with him to the
indeed.
Vatican.
And that included young people. So I think, you know, as someone who would never want to put myself in that situation, Pope showing mercy, that also, you know, definitely rings home.
What do you hope to be taking back from this experience, Michael? You've, as you say, been working with young people for a long time now, and it's part of who you are and what you do is to try and pass on your experience and your skills to them. But what do you think a trip like this does for somebody in your position?
Well, I think having benefited from experiences singing in sacred buildings across Europe for most of my professional life, I feel that the benefits I've received are, in some respects, they're unique for me, but also they are shared experiences which make them very special. But I also think, and this is something which has cropped up in recent years, that there's a degree of formation, so that the two pupils here, Hannah and Eli, have both said how remarkable it's going to be, and it's going to be a tremendous experience. But of course, we all know that when they get to the day and the moment, it will not be just a special experience. It'll be a quite mind-blowing experience, which they will savour, really, for the rest of their lives. And I think that sort of experience is almost one of the most important things which I regard the teaching of young people allows the teachers to provide. And I think the spiritual dimension, in addition to simply the experiential effect, is remarkable, and it can change lives.
How do you go about preparing for an event like this? I imagine you've been looking forward to it for a long time now.
We've been looking forward to it, but we do sing every week pretty well at Worth Abbey in Sussex, for the school community and also for the Abbey community. And we do try to strive for the best possible standards in our choral performance, as well as adding to the atmosphere of the Abbey services. But I think the pupils, however well they know the music, I think it's going to be the fact that the context has changed so remarkably. And I think it's not a simple, today we're singing in this cathedral, and tomorrow we're singing in that cathedral. I mean, it's a one-off. We brought the choir here in 1997 and sang Mass in St. Peter's. And
I was on that trip myself.
Despite that, it was a tremendous success. But it was, you felt so small, I think, in St. Peter's, which is in itself is a very good experience to have. But at the same time, I think that will be just blown out of the water by literally the presence of the Pope and then his entourage of cardinals and the priests and the gathered community of worshippers. And I think it's going to be enhanced hugely by the fact that it is a special Jubilee Mass for young people. And to some extent, I think we're curiously fortunate that it happens to be a school choir that's involved with the Jubilee Mass. So on the one side, you've got the unique dimension of the school children, and yet we're singing fabulous music. We're going to be singing alongside and hopefully together with the Sistine Choir, which obviously I've never done. I have to defer to my pupil, annoyingly.
As you say, Mark, you were on that school trip many years ago, and but now you sing to the Pope almost every time you sing, don't you? Does the experience lose any of that first kind of amazement and sense, perhaps, that you felt on that first trip or not?
Well, of course, the first time I did it, it was extraordinary to the point of surreal, because the first time I did it was also the first time I met the Pope. Maestro Palombello introduced me, so it was absolutely extraordinary. But no, it obviously become used to it, and we have a job to do, and then we must focus on that. But it never becomes ordinary. It never becomes banal to do something like that. It's a very, very special experience to sing for a papal mass. Every mass that we do is a very important experience.
If you had a message for Pope Francis that you could bring on this trip, Anna?
I would thank him very much for this fantastic opportunity. And I'd also like to thank him because of the amount of inspiration that we have definitely taken from this experience and will carry with us for many, many years.
What about you?
Again, I think it's a thank you. This chance, it's incredible. And what I'll take away from it will stay with me for the rest of my life, I think. So yes, definitely, thank you.
My thanks there to Eli Barrett and Hannah Teasdale of the Worth School Choir, together with their music director Michael Oakley and old boy Mark Spiropoulos of the Sistine Chapel Choir.